Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Moments away, we're going to talk about the new USDA growing zone map. But first, a word from Honey Bee Healthy.
Since 2000, Honey Bee Healthy, Inc. has helped beekeepers maintain healthy and thriving hives. Attracting pollinators to your garden this year is as simple as hanging a hummingbird feeder with a mixture of sugar and water, Honey Bee Healthy Original. Don't be alarmed to see birds, bees, butterflies dining together at the feeder.
Those are all good things.
Definitely. Pollinators coexist peacefully. Honey Bee Healthy is offering a 10% discount on an 8-ounce bottle of Honey Bee Healthy Original to this show's listeners. Enter discount code BEEGARDEN, that's B-E-E, GARDEN, at checkout. For more information, mixing instructions, and more, visit honey, the letter B, healthy.com, honeybeehealthy.com.
So, you may have seen this. It's like a social media review, I guess.
I think this is important.
Yes, like, the USDA has reestablished or re-racked or re-evaluated the growing zones in which many of us were very familiar to what we were. Now, growing zones, if you're not familiar, Hi, what are growing zones?
Sure. So, it's the U.S., it's technically like the USDA hardiness zone, but what the growing zone does is it advises you your first average, or like your last average frost date. So when in the spring will be the likeliness of a late spring frost, right? And then your last average frost date is your last, no, it'd be your first in the fall. And then it tells you when like your first, approximately when your first frost could occur.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times, like if you're looking at a seed packet, it might say plant, you know, before frost or after frost, or sometimes temperatures, or plant after any chance of frost. Or,
and the hardiness map standard is which with gardeners and growers can determine which perennial plants are most likely to grow in their location and survive.
Yes.
So that's kind of the guideline, but also it gives you the other additional information, last average frost date, first average frost date, average or coldness through the winter, because you may see something at your garden center or online that says good to growing zone 4.
So this is a
seven
fun,
or nine.
A fun fact.
Fun fact.
You might appreciate
free fun fact.
Free fun fact. The USDA Risk Management Agency looks at the MAPS plant hardiness zone designations to set certain crop insurance standards.
There's a fun word for farmers.
Yep. And then the scientists incorporate the plant hardiness zone as a data layer in research models, such as the modeling spread of exotic weeds and insects.
Uh-huh.
So it's not just for like the backyard gardener, even though it's about 80 million American gardeners and basically like urban agriculturists, urban growers, et cetera, utilize that. It's a dual or multiple use data.
And this is not just a United States thing. There is growing zones all around the world. It's not, you know, not United States Department of Agriculture in Europe or Australia, but they are different ones. There are 13 total around the world.
Right. There is. Correct. And
from zoning, from 1 to 13, 1 being like the north and then 13 being the really, really tropical areas.
Right. So the 2023 map, they're based on a 30-year average. So the last time it was updated was actually in 2012, I believe.
I think it's, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then they're divided into 10-degree Fahrenheit zones. And then there's even 5-degree Fahrenheit half zones. So, and it's based off the lowest annual winter temperatures.
Now, ours changed. We were in like based where the studio is and the garden and your mom's backyard and all that. We were 5A, 5B. We are now 6A. Now, how you find your growing zone is you can call your local extension office and or you can go to your favorite search engine and type in growing zone and insert your zip code. And then it will tell you immediately, here's your zip code and here's your city and here's your hardiness zone.
Yeah, or you can you can search USDA hardiness zone as well.
Because we're 6A and 5B, that our zip code is a mingle of two, and you're going to get that.
Yes, and that does happen. The interesting thing is that there is the 13 zones and its territories in the United States. And each zone is broken into half zones, which we talked about. But half the United States got warmer, and half the United States stayed the same.
Okay.
So some people shifted and some people didn't. Uh-huh. And Wisconsin shifted quite a bit.
Where our show originates from.
We're not just randomly talking about Wisconsin.
Yeah, our show originates out of southeast Wisconsin and is distributed to 18 radio stations in parts of 21 states.
Yes. So it's to keep that in mind. And it doesn't reflect, like, the coldest it's ever been to a specific location. But it's just still, it's based, off the winter, the average lowest winter temperature for the location over a specified time. Then the reason why they do this is because it's a crucial factor in the survival of plants in certain locations. Mm-hmm. And that's why it'll say, like, your frost date, whatever. Because that's what, for most everybody who grows things, is concerned about. Like, you kind of know that these plants are going to be okay in July, but you don't know in April or May.
Your raspberries or your lilacs or whatever, or peach trees, whatever you're buying online. Now, typically at your garden center, they're going to be associated with your growing zone. Now, there are going to be some, like, here's the tropical stuff, but that's very identified as it's not going to grow outside year-round when it gets negative 23 degrees. You're not going to get a pineapple in your backyard if it's, you know, upper Maine.
No, probably not.
But people don't know this, and we're not making light of their...
No.
Because they're not... You know, it's something you learn as a gardener.
Yeah, and actually, it's kind of funny. I was this past summer, actually, I was out to dinner with my friend and his parents, and they were like, how do you know when to grow stuff? And I was like, well, there's a whole hardiness zone that tells you, you know, when basically spring is okay to plant and grow certain things, and then when the fall, it's, you know, you could get a chance of frost. And they're like, oh, that's a thing? And I'm like, yes. And it doesn't occur to me that people don't know this because, you know, I live it. So.
Well, we had a friend who worked at a garden center. They were a sponsor for several years, big supporters locally. And he said he got annoyed with himself because he kept repeating the same thing over and over again to people, gardeners, that were asking questions before they asked the question. And somebody said, it's okay to, because they don't know what that is, so that you're educating them. Because he was like, I know people are just tired of me saying this, but people didn't know that, so it was new information to them.
There could be somebody right now listening to the show for the first time ever and be a brand new gardener, and we are so happy you're listening.
Yes.
Or there could be somebody who's listening to this show for like the thousandth time. I don't know how many shows we've had, but...
Hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yes.
Like my mom.
Uh-huh.
hey, Mom. You know, you don't know. That's the thing, is something like this, it's something you live, but you don't know who knows this.
We do this full time. You do this probably part time or weekend. So, you know, obviously we're going to know a little bit more maybe in some areas, and that's why we bring guests on too, so we can learn from them as well. So with this map, you can see it on your search engine. You can pull it up and see how things have changed. Now, if you are going to purchase a plant, and the guidelines in which I can advise you, if you're going to buy a perennial, meaning it comes back every year, a peach tree, an apple tree, a lilac bush, a shrub, if you're in growing zone 4, let's just go with that, get something that will be hardy enough for growing zone 3, because you're always going to have that one off deal where it's going to get extremely colder than what the average is. So if you've got a plant that is only good to growing zone 5 and you're in growing zone 4, it's probably not going to make it. If you're in growing zone 4 and you've got a plant that's growing zone 3, it's going to make it even on the harshest of winters. So always go one growing zone colder than what you currently are when purchasing perennial plants. So you don't have to replace them, as one garden radio host said, about every 3 to 5 years they have an anemone, and you know, you got to replace a bunch of plants because it got too cold because you bought for your current growing zone, not one colder.
Say perennial plants 4 times fast.
I'm not going to say that right now.
No.
No.
No. Not your perennial pants.
No.
So, and you can, again, Joey had mentioned, you can find this map. You can find all sorts of information through the USDA. And unfortunately, they no longer provide printed out maps, but you can print out your own.
What's a printed map?
Well, some people might like that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can very easily go on and pull it and put it in programs and print it off, or send it to a printer that can make it like an 11 by 17 or something, or even larger. it is would be neat if you could have the if you're able to find like the old maps and like have them in succession on your wall and see how they have changed. That would be interesting.
That would be interesting. And I'm sure that you can probably get the old map online too.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? And I'm sure there's books and whatnot that probably have something similar that you can find out there too. So there's a lot of options, and I think one thing to keep in mind.
Well, 1927 is when they started doing the hardiness zones. So,
oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
The first U.S. maps with 8 hardiness zones was completed at the in 1927. So, I'm sure there's some very nice archival information there.
You could probably go to your local library and see it. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that if you're a new gardener, you should definitely look into this. And
the beginning and when we say last average frost date, let's say it's April 14th. That does not mean April 15th. You can slam everything in the ground and you're good to go. That is simply a guideline. You still have to look at soil temperature, and you can use a meat thermometer to get an accurate soil temperature at root zone, because each plant or plants require different root zone temperature, optimal temperature for either germination or proper growing. And it is determined on long-range forecast, because you can have a week of 75 to 80 degree weather, and then we've all seen it turn, and there's snow on the ground, and it's 33 degrees, and your tomatoes are going to die. Because we've all done this.
We have.
We've all done. Let's put them in the ground. And, oh, we'll cover them. Put heaters around them. It's just, start
Joey,
over.
Joey's
reset.
Not being dramatic. He's telling the truth. And, yeah, you have to keep that in mind, that just because it's your past your last average frost date, there's plants that need it to be just a little bit warmer, or maybe a little more than a little bit warmer, in order to be live their best plant life.
Well, Phylum Bioproducts can offer you the necessities in order to protect your lawn this summer.
Soon it will be warming up, and you want to make sure you can enjoy your yard without sharing it with beetles and grubs. With spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling beetles and grubs in your yard, garden. Is Grub Gone can be applied to turf or around ornamentals to control grubs and lessen the impact the beetles have on your yard this summer. Easy to apply with a commercial spreader, irrigate into the soil, and it's the only non-chemical BT that works. Find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylombioproducts.com.